Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
That sounds really good to me. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it very, very much. If you are here today visiting with us for the first time or the first time in a long time, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I pray that the Lord will speak to you up close and personal today. There's in the bulletin that you have there will be a connection card. We would highly encourage you to fill that out if you would. Love to know, have a record of your visit. On the back, there's a space there for a prayer request. Should you have anything that you would like for us to pray about, we'd love to have that privilege and that opportunity as well. So as we worship this morning, I want you to know that you are greatly welcome and greatly appreciated for being here. May God touch you in a real special way. Brother Mark.
Good morning, everyone. Let's all stand and sing hymn number 227. Praise Him, praise Him. Please, everyone, stand.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children.
Continue to play. We're going to ask our deacons and anybody else that would like to come forward at this time and pray together. If anybody would like to do so, please feel free to do so.
Thank you.
Father, we just thank you for this day that you've given us. Father, thank you for all the visitors that we have and that we'll be as big a blessing to them as they are to us, Father. Father, I'd like to lift up our house cleaner that we have that cleans the church. Teddy, he had a stroke. Father, we ask that you be with him and get him back in the swing of things and that he'll be fully recovered, Father. We know it will be in your plan, and however that turns out will be your will, Father. But we just ask you to be with him and his family. Father, I ask you to be with all the folks that have this virus that's going around, that you'll keep us all safe and not to panic, Father, that we know that you have the plan again and that it will again be your will. Father, be with each one of us. Be with Kenny today as he brings your message to us and that you'll give him the words to say, Father. Father, we also ask for all distractions to be removed and that everybody can pay attention. And Father, if there's anyone here that does not know you, that they'll be saved today. And Father, we'll just welcome them into your army. Again, Father, thank you for everything you've done for us and everything you're going to do. And we're going to give you all the praise and glory for everything that happens today. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand again and sing, He Knows My Name. Let's everyone stand, please.
Privilege we get to come into this house. God, I praise you for our pastor who is willing and able and allowed to preach the true word of God. And I pray, Lord, you'll just continue to bless him, lead him in the path of the way that you had him to go so he can lead us in the way that we should go. God, I too pray for our people that are hurting. God, we have so many people that are sick, having through cancers and other illnesses. God, for Katie's family is I praise you for our church and those who supported her memorial yesterday. God, I just pray you continue to bless this church, grow a church in your time and in your way. But God, as we continue to worship now, we can worship you by giving back to what you've blessed us with. And God, I pray that you would use it to further and multiply your word throughout this world. People that have never heard you can hear the saving grace of God. And God, too, I praise you that you were never surprised by anything. You know everything happened before it happens. and you know the outcome, but we know that you're in control and you're in charge, and we just give you the praise for just being a child of yours, and we just give you thanks for all in Christ's name.
Amen. Thank you, Max.
Thank you.
Let's all stand again and sing hymn number 202, "O Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Everybody stand, please. Kenny comes, Randy's going to sing for us.
just ahead.
Amen.
Just so y'all don't wonder, it's not money to let him sing. It's a little mint. Just making sure y'all know, okay? And I got pockets full of these things, thanks to Randy. Well, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate that song, Randy. What some great truth is there. If you brought a Bible with you or if you need one, there should be one in the pew in front of you or near you there. The Gospel of John, chapter 21. This will be a fairly familiar story to many of you, but it has great great truth in it, and the song couldn't have been better. I love it when the Lord matches up the music with the message, and that's one of those situations today. We're going to talk about the restoration of Simon Peter after his failure, sort of a forgiveness issue and a reassignment and a response to the love of the Lord Jesus for you and I. So, chapter 21 of the Gospel of John, I want to read from verse 15 down a little ways. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for the incredible privilege of sharing your word together this morning, Father, with your people. This word is alive and well. It speaks to us up close and personal. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to please make this word very real in the hearts and the minds, Lord, of all of those who have come here to share this morning, to worship together. Father, I pray that you would be with us in every way, that you would speak up close and personal to all of us. I pray, Father, that you would speak to me and that you would speak through me this morning, that the things that are said and done, Lord, would be to your glory, Father, and to our growth. We thank you for inviting us into your presence today, Lord. What a privilege it is. We love you. We appreciate you. We praise you. We glorify you. We worship you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you read the first part of this chapter, you're going to realize that this is after the resurrection of Jesus, and this is the third time. If you look at verse 14, it's the third time now that Jesus is going to show himself unto his disciples after he had been risen from the dead there. And this is a really unique situation, because most of us know that there was a time when Peter told Jesus, I will follow you. I will go with you to prison. I will go with you to death if I need to. I will go. I'll do whatever I need to do. You need to know that I'm going to be there with you, that I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to let you down in any way. There's passages of scripture in Mark and in Luke and in John. I won't take the time to read all of those. But Peter basically told him, you know, that he was going to love the Lord no matter what. He was going to follow the Lord no matter what. He would be there with him even if he went to prison. He would never be offended because of the Lord. And then the situation came where, you as well as I know, he denied him three times, the cock crowed, and Peter looked at Jesus, and Jesus looked at Peter, and I can't imagine what that moment was like. Peter was a very proactive disciple. He'd been there with Jesus the whole time. He had followed him. He had listened to him teach. He listened to him preach. He listened to him say the words of life. He watched him heal people. He did those things that most disciples would want to do. He would want to be around Jesus. Well, the story begins in chapter 21, where they decide that they're going to go fishing. And there's seven of them there. They decide they're going to go fishing, and they decide they're going to go together fishing. And it says, and they went out all night and they caught nothing. And I'm beginning to think that we're related. Y'all know I love to fish. And by the way, for those of you who don't understand, that's why they call it fishing and not catching. Because you don't always catch, do you? You know, I know my brother Jerry knows all about that. And there are a few others of you who know all about that as well. But, you know, Jesus shows up on the bank, and the disciples didn't know who he was. But the bottom line is this here. He calls out to them, verse 5, and says, "Children, have you caught any, do you have any meat?" And they answer to him, "No." He said, "Well, cast your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll find meat there." So they do that, and they come in with a whole load of fish, and Jesus has already got some stuff prepared. He tells them to bring some more fish in there, and they finally realize and recognize who that is, and it's a joyful moment for some. Now, I want you to put yourself in this place. If you had denied Jesus three times, would you be excited about coming face-to-face with him? Would you be encouraged by the conversation that might ensue based on your recent performance or the lack thereof? So I want us to get our heads around this from a purely human point of view. You're going to have to answer some questions, and Jesus is not going to cut you any slack. He's not going to soft pedal this. He's not going to sugarcoat this in any way. But at the end of this process here, Peter's status as a disciple might be somewhat in question here. One of the things that I want you to hear today is that Jesus still forgives sin. Amen. Jesus still heals you and I from our failures. He still allows you and I not only to be forgiving or be forgiven, but he also allows us to forgive ourselves in the process. And that sometimes is a bigger issue, and it becomes a real issue. What would Simon Peter do? Could he handle the questions that Jesus was going to throw at him? And how would it be for him to have to answer those questions? Well, that's what the rest of the chapter is all about. This is the third time that Jesus has appeared to them after his resurrection. So there's no doubt in their mind that he is indeed the Son of God. He is indeed the Messiah. He has risen from the dead. He is the one that provides salvation for them. And Jesus is going to show something to Simon Peter that I believe you and I probably need that to be reminded of us on a regular basis. You know, Peter said, "I'm never going to be offended," but he was. "I'm never going to deny you," but he did. "I'm never going to fail you," but he did. "I'm never going to walk away from you," but he did. And the thing about it is that we need to realize today that we have a forgiving God who not only oftentimes gives us a second chance, but sometimes he gives us a third and a fourth and a fifth chance. The grace and the long-suffering of God is absolutely very, very real. Now, Peter's going to come to this situation, and he's probably going to have a bitter memory of a really life-failing experience, a life-changing failure in his life. So I guess to be up close and personal with you, and you don't have to answer me out loud, have you ever in your life had one of those life-changing failures when you would recognize and realize up close and personal and be honest with yourself and honest with God, "Yeah, I blew that. I messed that up. Lord, I'm going to own that. It's my fault. I have nobody else to blame. I made that choice." And there are people in the world today that want you to believe that Jesus can't forgive you, that God would not forgive you, that you have done something way beyond the ability to be forgiven. My friends, the text of the Word of God denies that completely. My God is a forgiving God. Your God is a forgiving God, and that's the thing that we need to understand here. So I want to go down the list of Scripture that I just read, and we'll talk about it a little bit. So Jesus fed them, and I think that's great wisdom. Most of us are a lot easier to get along with if our bellies are full. Am I lying? Isn't that the truth? Aren't you a lot easier to get along with if your belly's full, you're not hungry? So Jesus feeds them. They eat together, and so when they had gotten done, Jesus looks at Simon Peter, and he basically says, "Simon, do you love me more than these?" Now, I won't mind telling you, I would love to have a definition of these. What's he talking about? We'll get to that in a few minutes. Do you love me more than these? And Simon very clearly says to him, verse 15, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. Now, I want you to understand, this is a guy who had a tragic failure in his life not very long prior to this event. Here's a guy who had promised his faithfulness to the Lord, and he failed miserably in the middle of it. Here's a guy who genuinely loved the Lord Jesus, but in a moment in time, his courage failed his faith. Okay? Did Simon Peter love Jesus? I believe he loved him with every ounce of his being. Have you ever been at the place where fear dictated your choice? We ever lived that situation? You chose something because you were afraid, not because you didn't care, not because you didn't love. Jesus is looking at Simon Peter, and he's seeking out an answer from Peter himself. Do you love me? And there's a hook in this. No pun intended. Is there a hook in this? There's a hook here. Do you love me enough to serve me? Do you love me enough to pay the price that you're going to be required to pay? Do you love me enough to be my disciple, to follow me? And he could have gone ahead and said, because I'm not going to be on this earth very much longer. And the requirements are going to be transitioned over into the guys, you and the other 11 that I've been working with for such a long time. So Simon, I need to know, do you love me? That word in the Greek in that particular verse is agape. And it means basically a Christian love, a deep, committed type of love. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, then, if you do, I have something for you to do. That's the side of the story that we don't always get excited about. The upside is that we do love the Lord and he does love us. But the flip side of that, and we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, and y'all have heard me say it over and over again, but it seems like every message that the Lord sends my way, I can't get past all this process. Simon was saved from something when the Lord called him to be a disciple. But my friends, he was saved to something as well, and that was a life of service. It's the same for you and I. We were saved out of going the wrong direction. We were saved out of a life dominated by sin. We were saved out of that life, given power that we could not produce on our own, in order for you and I to transition from being lost to being saved, into being doing nothing for the kingdom of God, into doing something for the kingdom of God, into being almost useless in our ability to affect the kingdom of God for the right reason, into having the power of the Holy Spirit living within you and I so that we might indeed do something. So notice what Jesus did. He asked him, do you love me? Peter said, you know that I love you. Okay, then get to work. Feed my sheep. Is it wise to put that responsibility in the hands of somebody who just failed you so miserably? Does it look like this is a poor call on the part of Jesus? So soon after this process, you're just going to restore him? You're just going to put him back on a job? You're going to do that? But you have to understand, Jesus is asking, do you love me at a level to become my disciple? Do you love me at the level where you'd be willing to pay the price to do something that you should be doing for my cause? Do you love me enough to lay down your life for me? Is this a Christian love, or are we just friends? When he says you know, it means it's knowledge. That word means knowledge of a fact. Yes, Lord, you know, as a matter of fact, you know absolutely, truthfully, without any issue, you know that I love you. I absolutely love you. You know that. That's a fact. Okay, then feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. So he looks at him again. In verse 16, he says to him again, Simon, do you love me? And he says the same thing. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, okay. Feed my sheep. Establishment of a fact, followed by instructions for service. I would love to be easier than I can be about this, but your relationship and my relationship with Jesus Christ, my friends, the easiest way I know how to say that is it comes with expectations. We are to hear the truth. We are to know the truth. We are to follow instructions from our Heavenly Father and to get busy doing something for the kingdom of God and for our personal growth as well. To say that Jesus is fishing here would be wrong because he already knows the answer. He already knows the heart of Peter. He already knows that in a moment of time when he was probably afraid for his life as well, he failed in that moment of testing. He was afraid that his life might be next, and he denied the Lord Jesus those three times. Now Jesus is going to go on, verse 17, and he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now I did not comment on his instruction or his announcement. Simon, son of Jonas, verse 15. Simon, son of Jonas, verse 16. Simon, son of Jonas, verse 17. This is like a formal announcement in a certain way. He didn't just call him Peter. He didn't call him Pete. He didn't call him bro. He didn't call him buddy. He called him Simon, son of Jonas. It's a lot like this. It's like when my dad used to look at me and say, Kenny Douglas. When mom and dad use your middle name, what's your first thought? It ain't going to be good. You need to shut up and pay attention. I need you to look right here. Look right here, right here. Talking to you, boy. You know, if he called me by my name, that's fine. But if you use my middle name to go along with that, this is a formal meeting. This has important written all over it. He's got something to say, and I'm the guy doing the listening. So Peter understood, I believe, in verse 15, the first time that he said, Simon, son of Jonas, this is important. It's time for me to pay attention. Well, by the third time when he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Interesting phrase in verse 17. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Why would that be? Because in verse 15, when he asked him if he loved him, he asked him, agape, do you love me? In a way that you're willing to sacrifice? Do you love me in a Christian way? Do you love me in a way that you would be willing to pay the price to do what I need you to do? Simon's response to him, by the way, you know that I love you. That Greek word is phileo, and it means fellowship. It means like a brother. So Jesus asked me, do you love me at this level? And Peter's first response was, I love you like a brother. That wouldn't be a bad thing for you and I, because I say that from time to time. I love you like a brother. And I meant that sincerely. But here it's different. Jesus said, do you love me more than anybody? Do you love me at the degree where you're willing to sacrifice for me? Do you love me in a Christian way? And Peter's response was, well, I love you like a brother. You know that. And the second time he says that, it comes up the same way. Verse 16, do you love me? Agape. Yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. Phileo, a brotherly type love. So Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? Well, this time, Jesus used the word phileo. And it's almost like saying, do you even love me as a brother? And that's why he became very frustrated by that, burdened. I guess the word would be grieved in verse 17. So Jesus asked him twice, do you love me more than anything? Will you pay the price to be my disciple? Will you do what I need you to do? Are you going to love me sacrificially? So the third time he said, well, do you even love me like a brother? Ouch. Those are the words of Jesus to Simon Peter. Can you imagine how hard that must have been to hear? And he said unto him, Lord, you know everything. Verse 17. You know everything. You know me. You know my heart. You know who I am. You know what I'm not. You understand me. You see me in the dark when I'm by myself. You know exactly who I am in front of you. You know who I am away from you. You know who I am in my quiet moments. You know what I am inside, and you know what I'm not inside. Lord, you know me through and through. It's a matter of fact, you know me. I do absolutely love you. But it's the same word. And I think Jesus was making sure that Simon Peter understood that this discipleship that you're called unto, this is no joke. This is no part-time gig. This is not something you do in your free time. I'm asking you for your life. I'm asking you for a real, genuine, honest, heart-level conviction. This is very serious. It's very solemn. And I need to know, hear it from your voice. We know that Jesus knew. Have you ever just needed to say something, just get it out? And when you got it out, it made sense to you? When it might not have made sense to you if you'd have kept silent? Peter needed to know that this was not a casual conversation, that Jesus was going to ask him for a lifetime commitment to ministry. Will you pick up the ball right where you are today? Will you carry that ball? Will you do the job that I have called you to do? You've been with me. He could have said, you've been with me 3 years. You've seen it up close and personal. You've watched me heal people. You've heard my teaching. You know who I am. You know what I am about. And I need you to say to me today that you love me enough that you're going to make a lifetime commitment to ministry. See, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what God wants from each of us, is a lifetime commitment to ministry. We don't do this Christian life thing in our part time. We don't do this in our free time or our spare time. We don't do this thing when it's convenient for you and I. There's a certain level of sacrifice that comes with the process. But hear this other side of this. God honors everything that you do for him. This world might not recognize a single thing that you've ever done for the cause of Christ, but mark my word, God misses absolutely nothing. Amen. Absolutely nothing. And we will be blessed because of that. So Jesus asked him 3 times if he would affirm his love, if he would give his life and commit to what the Lord wanted him to do with his life. And the question that Peter would have to deal with is, would he deny him again? Would he run away again? He said, well, wait a minute, preacher. He's already said 3 times that he would love him. Yeah, but he also said he'd die with him. And he also said he'd never be offended because of him. And he also said he'd never go to prison because he would go to prison because of him. And he also said that everybody else can be offended because of you, but I will never be offended because of you. And the bottom line on that, and this is as humbly and as honestly as I can say it, talk is cheap. I wish it was easier to say it's not. How many things have we promised God that he's still waiting for you and I to do it? How much have we told him we would be willing to do, but we haven't gotten there yet? Peter was going to be asked very simply to reaffirm his loyalty to Jesus as emphatically as he had denied it earlier. I mean, when they ask him, do you know this guy? No, I don't know him at all. And they asked, the little girl asked him again. I said, I think I saw you. You're one of him. No, I have no idea who this is. And he even cursed. He was very, very adamant about not knowing Jesus. Yeah, the words for love are incredible. And the comment from Peter is incredible as well. Peter was grieved because the Lord had asked him a 3rd time, do you really love me? Lord, you know everything. You have to know that I do love you. Okay, feed my sheep. I've stepped away from church in my past, knowing full well that God had called me to do some kind of ministry, and there are times in my life when I wasn't sure what that was. But for whatever reason, I have stepped away, and the Lord could have asked Kenny the same questions that he asked Peter. Do you really love me, or are you just talking? And if you really love me, then you need to get busy. Now, there have been moments when I've stepped away from it. Maybe that's true in your life. Maybe there's been moments when you've stepped away from it. Maybe it's been difficult for you on the upside and more difficult for you on the downside. You have events in your life that you wish you could forget. You have times that the last person you would ever want to have a conversation with would be the Lord Jesus, because somewhere in your mind, maybe you think that he just somehow doesn't forgive certain things. Maybe there's a point in your life where you think there's no possible way that God could ever forgive me for the things that I've done. Or you get to that place where you can't forgive yourself for the things that you have done. We're misunderstanding the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. We talked a little bit about forgiveness in Sunday school today. You know what unforgiveness is like? Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. That's pointed, isn't it? So I think maybe somewhere back in the mind of Simon Peter, when the Lord asked him for the third time, do you really love me? Do you even love me as a brother? And Peter was grieved because he had to ask him three times. I wonder if he ever thought about the fact that Jesus was grieved on the third time that he denied him. You see, this is a restoration ministry here. Jesus didn't give up on Peter because he made a mistake. Jesus didn't give up on him because his courage failed him in a moment there where he thought maybe he would die just like Jesus was headed to die. There are times, friends, when our courage doesn't match up to our faith. We become seriously afraid. Jesus was warning Simon Peter to know, I will not give up on you. But the question is, will you give up on me? Or aren't we all there? I walked away. For all practical purposes, I gave up on God. Because in my own mind and in my own thinking, well, he could probably never forgive that. And even if he did, what use would I be? I've already walked away one time, so am I at risk of doing it a second time? I already denied you the one time. Am I at risk for doing it a second time? How about a third time? When is enough enough? When are you going to get tired of me playing the game? When are you going to get tired of me being shallow, Father, so that when it don't go my way, I'm going to get all puffed up and all twisted up, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to stay there because I made a wrong choice. Now, all of a sudden, my mind tells me, yeah, you messed that up. Why should he ever forgive you? The good news is because he's God, and that's what he does. That's what he does. He finds us in our worst moments, and he forgives us of our failures in order to say, I told you so? No. In order to say, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, get back in the game. Put the uniform back on. Put the helmet on. Get back in the game. Get behind the steering wheel one more time. Do what it is you were doing before you had that moment of weakness, before you had that terrible failure in your life, before you made that wrong choice in your life, whatever it might have been. Because know this, your God will forgive you should you ask him. And the second part of it is will you forgive yourself so you can get back at it? Simon Peter could have said, no, I'm sorry. I messed it up way too bad. I messed it up way too much. This is talk is cheap, Lord. Talk is cheap. You're really going to forgive me after what I did? I denied you three times in the worst moment of your life. And then we're going to crucify you, and I denied you three times. How could you have any use for me? Well, the good news is he never stopped loving you. And he went ahead and he died for you, and me too. The way I look at this passage of Scripture, it's a beautiful reminder of what our God is really like. And he went ahead after he told Peter the three times, I want you to get busy feeding my sheep. Go feed my lambs. You can interpret that as ministry in whatever way you want to. Yours is not like mine. Mine is not like yours, but it's very real and it's very, very obvious that God wants us to do something with this relationship. He was asking Peter, if do you love me more than just a human level? Early on in the message, I mentioned to you that I get back to the idea that I wish that he had defined, do you love me more than these? These what? Do you love me more than these other disciples love me? I don't think that's the answer. Do you love me, more than these guys love me? Do you love them more than you love me? Or do you love me more than these things? Now understand where this is spoken. This is by the seashore. They just came out of the lake. They got boats. They got nets. They've been fishing. In my mind's eye, and I can't prove this to you chapter and verse. I would so much love to be able to do that. But in my mind's eye, I see Jesus taking his hand and spinning it like this at all those boats and all those nets and saying to Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love the vocation that you stepped out of 3 years ago so much that you went back to it when you thought I was dead and gone and that everything we had talked about and everything I had taught you was dead and gone? Do you love your fishing more than you love me? Oh, when I read that, I thought, oh boy. That's about as up close and personal as it gets. Because you see, now I have to fill in that blank for Kenny. Do you love your NASCAR racing more than you love me? Ouch. Do you love bass fishing more than you love me? Do you love what you do in this world as a vocation more than you love me? Jesus was making himself very real to Simon Peter to simply say, you need to understand at, in the gut level that this idea of being a disciple comes with a price. This idea of being a disciple comes with understanding some very real priorities. I need you to love me more than you love anything else on the planet. If you're going to do it right and you're going to do it my way, that's what you'll need to do. Do you love me more than these? This is not a misprint at whatever. And when I read that, I thought, well, this is going to be more personal than I wanted it to be for my own life. All the promises Peter made him went by the wayside. Some of the promises that Kenny made him went by the wayside for a while. Never, ever, under any circumstance or consequence, Peter said, I will not deny you no matter what. No matter what. And Jesus was finally helping Peter to understand, listen, you can't put anything before me if you want to live it like I have taught it and like I have lived it. And I believe that that's where the rubber hits the road for a lot of us. Some people just want to be saved to make sure that when they draw their last breath here on this planet, then they're not going to go to hell. That's all they care about. I got my ticket. When my time comes, I'm going to be with Jesus, and that's all there is to it. And they return to their former life, to their former vocation. I have my ticket so that I'm not going to go to hell, but don't ask me to do anything for the cause of Christ. I have more important things to do, things that I love more. It becomes a matter of priority. And here's the deal, and I'll close with this. Jesus knows my heart and my convictions. And my friends, he knows your heart and your convictions. He knows whether or not I have a genuine, heartfelt desire, conviction to serve him, or whether or not I am convicted and I don't care about whether or not I serve him. He knows whether or not I love him. He knows whether or not that it matters to me what takes place in this relationship. You see, the bottom line on this is that I can hide some of that from you, but I could never hide it from Jesus. He knows. And that's what he was trying to get Peter to see. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, I need to know that you love me enough to make me first. And if you don't make me first, this is not going to work very well. Feeding sheep is not an easy job. I've never fed sheep, but I've saw pictures of it, and guess what? I don't want no part of it. I don't like sheep to begin with. But here's the deal. In some ways, I am the under-shepherd, and you guys are the sheep. So it becomes my responsibility and my privilege to feed you. The problem is you don't always want to eat what I'm feeding you. And I get that. I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to eat it either. But sometimes we need to hear it, don't we? Sometimes when you come in here in this building on Sunday morning, you need to walk out of here limping spiritually because the Spirit of God made some things very real and it wasn't comfortable. Each confession of love from Simon Peter was followed by a commission to service. I've said this 100 times since I've been here. Friends, you weren't saved to sit. You were saved to serve. He gave you your own personal flock of sheep to minister to, and we get to do that together. Peter's miserable performance during the arrest and the crucifixion was not only forgiven by his Lord and Savior, but it was Jesus looking at Simon and Peter saying, hey, you know what? I'm not writing you off because you made this mistake. Aren't you glad that our Heavenly Father loves and forgives us beyond our failures, that he loves and forgives us to the point where we can be restored to a legitimate ministry when we have either failed or stepped away from that for whatever. You know, we sometimes write off those people who have failed in the past as being disqualified to serve. We sometimes look at them and think, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't trust anything with you. Jesus wasn't like that. He gave Peter a task, and he predicted his future. And I love the whole process as the way it goes down. I want to read 18 and 19. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Or, more legitimately translated, keep following me. That's your call, friends. That's the heartbeat and the desire of our Savior. We don't get thrown out like so much trash when we mess it up. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And I pray this morning that your walk is where you want it to be, that your walk is where it needs to be, that because of that walk, that God is blessing you in ways beyond what you could even imagine or understand. That is our God. He is for us. He wants you and I to live a life of joy and peace and happiness, but he wants us to live a life of commitment and priority and activity. I will forever believe that if we're where we're supposed to be and we're doing what we're supposed to do while we're there, that church will be every single thing that God intended it to be, and that our walk and our life and our ministry will be that blessing that God has designed it to be. So I ask you this morning. Do you love him? Do you love him enough to follow him? Do you love him enough to sacrifice? Do you love him enough to become uncomfortable from time to time? Do you love him enough to deal with sheep that you'd rather choke than to deal with? Do you love him enough to stand in the trenches when it's not fun, when it's not easy? Do you love him enough to show up and commit to that which causes some hard work from time to time? Because here's the deal. He loves you enough to make that happen. Whatever your choice is this morning, maybe you're here and you're lost as yesterday and you know that. The good news is, any moment when you're willing and he's speaking to your heart, you can receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I would highly encourage you to do that this morning if you have not done that. Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you need some altar time. I don't know what you need. The Spirit of God knows exactly what you need. So would you follow him today? Stand with me and we'll pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We appreciate you so much. I'm so glad that you're God of the second chance and sometimes the third and the fourth and the fifth chance. I'm so glad that you don't throw us out like so much trash when we step away, when we make poor choices, when we fail miserably in our walk. What a joy it is to know that we have a Heavenly Father who forgives us. Not only that, but he waits for us to respond to the call that's on our life to serve. Lord, help us to be aware. Help us to be looking. Help us to be expecting. Help us to be willing to step up and do that what you've called us to. We love you. We thank you. We appreciate you for all you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come?
Hymn number 308.
Save.
pray that the Lord has spoken up close and personal to you. Lives are being changed. Like this morning, lives are being changed. And my prayer is that yours would be one of them. We spent 5 weeks talking about worship and how valuable that experience is for you and I in this corporate worship that we get to have here several times a week. Don't ever underestimate the value of gathering together and corporately worshiping as God's children, as brothers and sisters in the Lord. God loves you more than you can imagine, and He forgives you quicker than you ask. And that should make us leave here with a smile on our face. Tonight, starting a brand new series on Sunday night, so don't miss it. Don't be late. I'm just going to be sorry and not tell you what it's about. You want to know? Come and find out. But I love you and I appreciate you more than you know, Brother Mark. Oh, one more thing. We have a leadership meeting at 4:30. If you're part of that team, please see you at 4:30.
Brother David, will you dismiss us, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, God in heaven, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and what He did for us on the cross. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We also want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time in which we come together to worship you and learn about the Word. And Heavenly Father, we pray and ask that you'll please be with each and every one of us this day as we carry on to about our day. Hopefully, the Lord will be able to return here tonight to learn more about the Word. In Lord Jesus Christ's heavenly name, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.